We love cake so much we decided to make it a full-time business. For me, Sammy.
And me, Bronya.
Join us on our journey of discovery as we meet fellow cake professionals, artisan cake makers and home bakers who will give tips and advice on the Business of Cake Making podcast, glitter included.
Follow us on Instagram and listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean or wherever you listen to your podcast. Sign up to our newsletter and visit the blog at daisycakecompany.co.uk.
Hello, Sonia. Hello. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I think we're both quite nervous about today's podcast.
Yeah.
Because we're
because although we like to think we know what we're talking about, this is the one that trips us up.
Yeah. And I wanted to do it because it is something that comes up in my business every now and then, and I always have to Google it. So, yeah. You know, it's good for us and it's good for you. And
I think also as creatives, it's something we never want to do.
No, ever. But it's, yeah.
So, can you guess what we're talking about today?
Financial and business jargon understood.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go leap straight in. I've written a lot of notes.
Yeah, because you've got very prepared over this, haven't you?
Well,
you've been
as prepared as I can. I do apologise now if we cover a subject and we are not quite right, because we have tried really hard to make sure that we're giving you factual information, but there are some grey areas. And then but, you know, let's just get started.
And to be honest, if there's grey areas, talk to an accountant.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're not experts on this. You're not, unless you're an accountant, you're not experts on this. Please talk to an accountant if you have any worries.
I'm just going to put my phone on silent, which I'd forgotten to do. I was just
telling Sammy that I have a business degree, and in the first year you have to pass all the modules, you have to cover everything, and that includes everything from accounting, law, marketing, economics. I did accounting. I had to pass with 44%. I passed with 45%. Uh-huh. That's how good I am at this.
Oh, you passed? I passed. Right.
Wasn't flying colours. It was a pass. It was fine. Right, go on then.
Okay, so I'm going to be reading a lot from my notes today, so I'm sorry if I stumble. I have practiced. So you have a company and naturally you want to find out how you are doing financially. How do you do this? There are so many different terms, jargon and terminology out there that understanding it can be a minefield. So I wanted to do a podcast, today's podcast, can't get my words out, about understanding the meaning of these phrases, as there are so many. And it's helpful to understand what some of the most used mean, because we all struggle.
So there are some that we won't be talking about today, but we don't think that applies to us as our little businesses anyway.
Yeah. And I, for some of my research, I've used my favourite software, Bake Diary, which is a cake pricing and order management software, primarily for cake decorators and home bakers. And I love it. It suits me fine. I've gone into the reports and list and used their terminology and followed it, because I figured if they're using it, that's what, you know, we're all going to be using type scenario. So the first one that we're going to talk about is income statement. Okay, I'm going to say what I've got.
Go on then.
The income statement reveals information about your company's profitability and financial situation during a specific time period. But the income statement kind of covers all of like the income, revenue, cost of sales, gross profit. So it's like your file is labeled income statement, and you're going to open it up to get all your little smaller files
When I was doing accounting, I think this is what they called the balance sheet and the profit and loss, because that's got a bit of everything on it. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand profit and loss. I still don't understand a balance sheet, because it has to balance. I could never get it to balance. But it's, you know, that's fine. But yeah, it's basically all the financial shit about your business that you need to know is in that document.
Yeah.
There are some accounting programs out there as well. I know I used to use not Xero, one of the other ones, QuickBooks. I used to use QuickBooks.
Yeah, and that would do it for you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it produces all this, this stuff. As long as you keep putting everything in.
Yeah, on a regular basis. Because BakeDiary does that. And I used to use Cashflow, which is the same sort of thing as well. Yeah. And I did really like it until I found BakeDiary. And I was like, oh, I am converted.
Made for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so this is, if you have any of those things and it says income statement, profit loss, balance sheet, all those sort of things, it's all this, all your financial stuff that you need to know is in there.
As part of your income statement. So the next section would be your income / revenue, or what would you call that?
I would call it revenue.
Yeah.
That's what I think that's how I would call it, but it's just basically money coming in, isn't it? All your money coming in.
Yeah.
And you is your income.
Yeah. So this refers to the income of the business that you make from selling goods. The income statement shows the revenue made over a certain period. Example, the income / revenue of Apple, the big company Apple, would be all the money Apple has made selling iPhones, iPads, AirPods, MacBooks, and all their accessories. So their income it's massive.
Yeah. So, and also, I mean, so this is when you do it in like, that people do it monthly, people do it quarterly, people do it yearly, they'll look at it like that.
Yeah.
Another one that I got confused about, because, and I double checked this, is when people talk about turnover, you know, the actual turnover. But actually, I looked at turnover up, and it's actually how often you turn over the stock holding and money in your business. So I've been using it incorrectly.
Right.
I thought turnover was the same as income and revenue. It's not.
Oh.
So stop using that from now on.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Because it's handy when you, say, apply for a loan or something like that, knowing this terminology as well.
Yeah.
Because they do ask you, what's your gross profit? What's your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if someone asks for your turnover, that's how often things get turned over in your business. But income is literally all the money coming in. And say, some people look at it monthly, some people look at it weekly, some people look at it daily.
I look at mine quite daily.
Yeah.
That's because I do my accounts every day.
Oh, that halo. But I know when I worked for the shoe company, when I worked for Freed, each sales team, so UK sales and overseas sales, and I think that we had retail as well, they all had budgets that they had to hit. And these were targets.
Yeah.
And they were income. And it was actually the income. So it was quite interesting that, they would say that it had a monthly target of UK sales have a monthly target of 2 million, say. That had been set at the beginning of the year and it had been based on last year's income plus a price increase. So, and that was quite a good thing that they all like were driving towards that budget, which was an actual income. It didn't have any cross taken out or nothing. That was how much money was coming in from
and
them.
I like to use those monthly figures so that I can work out what I made last year and what I made this year. Recently started doing that.
I think comparing between years is really useful. Yeah, you know, if you're doing better, if you're doing worse, what has gone wrong, what has been different, and things like Easter and things like that, when they get thrown in at different times, it's really useful that if you sit and go, oh, my March has been rubbish this year.
Yeah.
And then you realise actually Easter was in the middle of March last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's things like keeping all that kind of information is quite handy.
Yes. So the next thing that was in my BakeDiary was cost of sales or expenses. They kind of put it all in together. And this includes all the costs that a company incurs in the process of producing goods and services. These costs could include salaries that are paid, raw materials, building and maintenance, and your council tax, things like that.
See, I don't see cost that. I see cost of sales to be different.
Oh,
isn't that funny? So, so you've got two lots of costs. You've got fixed costs, which are your overheads, which are your mortgage, your rent, all the things that are going to stay the same, no matter how much you produce, they're all going to be the same. So if you've got, I don't know, your phone bill, your broadband, they're never going to change. No matter whether you make one cake or 50 cakes, they're always going to be the same. So that's like a fixed cost or an overhead. To me, cost of sales is a variable that is your ingredients. So if you make one cake, it's going to cost you that much. If you make 50 cakes, it's going to cost you more. So to me, that's what cost of sales are. So it's an actual direct cost of how much you're selling, whereas the others are a fixed overhead.
Yeah. And
they're all expenses, and they're all different expenses, but some are variable and will change no matter how much you, depend on how much you make. Yeah. Some are never, ever going to change because it's just fixed.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's just how I, how I've always seen it. And when we had the shop, I used to have to go through every month all our expenses, and I used to go, oh, I've bought these boxes, where do they go under? And George would go, cost of sales. And it's like, oh, okay. And then it'd be like, oh, I've got the broadband bill, where's that go? Well, that's an overhead. So that's why, in my head, that's how they're why they're different.
See, the reason I've said that is because when I go into Bake Diary and I put in expenses, I've got a section. And I go into expenses, so I add my expense, and I have to say whether it's an ingredient, rent, and it's all separated out for me. So that's why I've said it like that. But yes, yours does make sense.
Well, I imagine that therefore they've got something in there in the diary that works it out for you then. But to me, a cost of sale is a direct cost.
Yeah.
So if you don't make that sale, you haven't got that cost.
No.
Whereas the others are overheads because they're there all the time and you ain't got, there's no flexibility there.
Okay.
Right.
Gross profit.
Gross.
Are you ready?
Such a nasty word, isn't it?
It is. Okay. Right, go on. Hopefully I've got this right. Basically, whatever money is left after production costs is known as gross profit. Is that right?
So I've got gross profit is your profit minus the sales. Cost of sales. Yeah.
So I've actually written this down here. Gross profit equals revenue minus cost of sales.
So, yeah. And then what, you just called it something else as well then?
Gross profit.
No, expenses. The cost of sales.
Expenses.
No, there was something you said another word. Read it all again.
Gross profit equals revenue, which is your income revenue.
Yeah.
Minus cost of sales.
No, you said something else.
Did I?
Yeah.
You have to listen back to it in the edit.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember.
Yeah, so gross profit is all your money in minus how much you spent to produce that one thing.
So I've actually written how to calculate gross profit. Do you want to hear it?
Put it all into a computer and hope it does it for you.
It costs you £55 to make a cake. You then sell this for £100. So your gross profit is £100 minus £55, leaving you £45 gross profit.
Yes.
Yeah?
Right, we haven't talked about wages or anything here. This is just actual physical material costs that we're talking about now.
Okay.
Okay.
And some people prefer to work this out as a percentage of sales, which can be referred as gross profit margin. And I've got in brackets GP percent.
Right, so when I worked at when I worked at the shoe factory, part of my job was to work out margins. Okay, so we had a manufacturing cost, which was our cost of sales. We then had, for wholesale, we had to add a 30%. And then for retail, we had to add an additional 50%. So I had to work all those out, because that's the way that,
I guess,
because it's such a big business, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because it had so many like moving parts, whereas in our little cake businesses, it's just us.
Yeah.
And our, you know, and we know everything really close. Whereas when you're working for like a big business, it's like a big factory, and then they're having to sell, and then they've got three different sales channels and all that. So we had to have different margins. So everything had to, there was a spreadsheet that the factory managers would work out the costings, and they would give me the cost, and then I would have to add the margin, percentage margins, yeah, to add, make the prices. Mm. And sometimes you had to tweak them, because sometimes you'd go, you know, we're never going to sell a pair of shoes for that much money. Are you willing to take a lower margin on that?
Mm. And sometimes so, you do that sometimes with a cake though, don't you?
Mm, yeah. Yeah. If you really want to make the cake.
Yeah.
And you want that in your portfolio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I feel like I've turned too many pages.
I feel like I've done a marathon already. We've only done 15 minutes. And isn't it funny that I didn't think, until we've started chatting, I didn't really register how much this was related to what I've done in previous jobs.
Yeah.
I didn't, it's not registered to me.
I used to be an invoicing clerk.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And I used all of this kind of,
yeah,
work out things. So yeah,
and then it suddenly becomes your right, and all of that back then, it was like, oh yeah, you just had 30% for wholesale, and then another 50%, and it just all seemed really sensible. But now in my own business, it's like, it's scary, but it's kind of not really.
No. Don't be scared of the prices. Right. So I've written also, should I talk about the gross profit margins as well?
Yes, go on.
Gross profit.
Yeah.
So what is a good gross profit margin? When I was looking this up, I put in, what is a good gross profit margin in a business? But it just didn't come up with anything that was viable. So I got 50% in retail. But I think going by what we were discussing before we started, that anything between 40% and 60% is a good gross profit margin.
Yeah.
In cake businesses.
Yeah, I think so. It's funny you should say 50%, because going back to Freed, when I was at Freed, we would sell at wholesale, and we would know that whatever we sold, so we would sell, say to a shop, say we were selling a pair of ballet shoes to a shop, and we would charge £5 for those ballet shoes.
Yeah.
We would know that the shop would sell them for £10.
Yeah.
They would double the price every single time. So they would always put that same margin on.
Yeah.
So for retail, 50%, absolutely bang on, straight down the line.
Yeah.
But when we were chatting earlier, we were saying, you know, what are our margins? And I think somewhere between 50 and 60, 40 and 60. Mm. And if you get a higher profit margin, well, hey, lucky you.
Yeah.
If you get a lower one, don't beat yourself up. You've still got a profit margin. Just make sure you're paying yourself enough.
And make sure your net profit margin covers this.
Go on then, what's your net profit?
What is a good net profit margin?
What is net profit?
So net profit is I've stumped myself here. Here we go. We haven't covered this yet. That's the little.
We haven't done net profit yet. We've done gross profit. What's net? What's the difference between gross and net?
We're gonna carry on with what is net income, also known as net profit, and then I'll ask that question. Okay.
Okay.
That makes it a lot simpler. Yeah. So our next category is net income, also known as net profit. So net income refers to the amount an individual or business makes after deducting costs, allowances, and taxes.
Yeah. So after everything has come off.
Yes.
Everything has been taken off. That is your net profit. That is what you're left holding after you've taken. So if you are in a position that you're paying tax,
make sure you take that.
Take the tax off.
And put it in a little pot and don't touch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do put money aside for tax. Everything that comes in, I put it in a little pot because there's nothing worse than the thought of suddenly getting a tax bill and going, God. Oh, I've got no money.
Yeah.
So net profit is once everything has been taken off.
Yeah.
That net profit.
And then what is a good net profit margin? So 10% is an average figure.
Low.
But a good goal to set is 20%.
Right. See, even that seems, because that, I mean, we're talking about that. This is your wages. Your net profit is effectively your wages, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is where we went to between 40 and 60 earlier, actually. Our net profit we were talking about before we came on the podcast was the 40 to 60.
Oh, so I thought that was gross profit.
No. See, we did try to talk about this before we came on.
So when I went onto all my stocks and shares markets and I was checking out their gross profit and their net profit, their gross profit was huge.
Yeah.
And their net profits were always the little tiny ones.
Yeah.
So that
because they've got big corporate taxes to pay. Yeah. They've got big overheads, big wage bills.
Yeah.
Because you've got to think their net profit is also after paying wages.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So you are right. 10% is right.
Yeah.
Sorry, it just clicked. So
yeah, I was just rereading my notes and I was going, cost of sales.
Right, so net profit. So your gross profit. Oh, see, this is where people come really unstuck. And this is where I've just come really unstuck talking about it. Your gross profit is what your wages have got to come out of.
Yes.
But it's not your wages because it also includes your taxes and any profit you're going to leave in your business.
Yeah. So your net profit is the amount.
Is what you're leaving in your business.
Yeah, you've got left after deducting costs, allowances and taxes.
Yeah. See, I leave 5% in my business.
Yeah.
So I take every penny that comes in, I take 5% off of that and put it in a pot. And that is for things like a new oven.
Yes.
if the mixer blows up, that's what your 5% net profit is.
Yeah.
So that bit in the middle between gross profit and net profit is your wages and your tax.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it is.
And that makes sense. And that's why it makes sense for 40 to 60%.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I'll just unravel everything I just said earlier and that's fine.
Okay.
Right, should we go over that again? Should we just to reiterate that?
Okay. So gross profit, I've got to go back a page.
Gross profit is your income.
Basically, whatever money is left after production costs. And everything that's known as gross profit.
And then from your gross profit, you take your wages and your tax.
Yeah.
And what is left is your net profit, which you keep in the business, which 5 to 10%, bish, bash, bosh, wonderful.
Yeah. And that makes your business.
Excuse me while I just cough. Excuse me.
I cough as well. Double coughing.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh,
okay.
Got all a bit excited then.
A bit excited. So for me, the rest of what we've got written. Sorry, I want to cough now. It's just copying you.
It's the allergy. Yeah. That's what it is. It's allergic to numbers.
So for me, what we've got written to talk about is a lot easier than the gross profit and the net profit.
Yeah.
So... Yes.
Yeah. So gross profit is the money coming in, taking all your costs. Then you take off your wages and your tax and you're left with your net profit, which you leave in your business for when things blow up or if you want to go on training courses, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And to make your business look amazing as well.
To invest in your business.
Yeah. Yeah. Invest in you, really, because we're all mainly sole traders.
We are our businesses.
Yeah. I am. Yeah. I've got one more in my belly. Anyway. The next one we want to talk about is cash flow.
Cash flow.
Okay.
Cash flow.
So this is the total amount of money being transferred into and out of a business.
Mm. Yeah. So sometimes you hear businesses talking about they have a cash flow problem.
Mm.
And it's not that they haven't made sales. No. So they've made sales. So they've had to pay to make those sales because their cost of sales have all been done.
Mm.
But their customers haven't paid yet.
Yeah.
And that's when you get a cash flow problem. So that means you can't make the next batch of sales because you haven't had the money in for the first batch of sales. To be honest, in our businesses, we shouldn't have that problem.
No. I tend to get that when there's I'm waiting for wedding payments.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because it's generally we only start spending money when we've got the money in. But yeah, when it comes to weddings, and it's like big chunky bits of money, isn't it, that you're waiting for?
Yeah.
And you get a cash flow problem.
I tend to get that a lot with corporate as well.
Yes, because they don't always pay before, do they?
No, they'll get their cakes and then they'll pay. And then and sometimes you'll get a company – like I have one company and I know they have the money.
Yeah.
They just take their time paying it.
So. Can you remember when we used to we used to supply the Greyhound?
Yeah.
Oh, and I used to chase them. And I remember at one point there was like a couple of thousand, which for a small business
is a lot of money.
Is a lot of but for they were a small business as well, so they were obviously holding on to their money for as long as they could.
Their accountant was very good. That's all I would say.
Yes. Yeah, you did have to really chase them down. Mm. But yeah, so that's when, if you've got a cash flow problem, it's because the money isn't coming in, but the money's going out. But it doesn't mean to say you're not making the sales, because you might be making the sales and that's fine.
Yeah.
Just haven't been paid for them.
Yeah. Okay. Break even. The break-even point is the point at which total sales and total expenses are equal. Sorry, I can't read my writing. Meaning there is no loss or gain.
Yeah, so it's the point that you're not making a profit, but you actually haven't lost money.
Mm.
And it's times things like break. It's good to know your break-even point when you do. You know, like we were talking last week about if you're doing a fair or market, fairs and markets, and you get to the end of the day and you've got stock left on your table.
Yeah.
To bin it, you're making a loss.
Yeah.
But if you sell it for the cost, you haven't lost anything. You haven't gained anything, but you've actually not made a loss. So it's good to know what your product's break-even point are in cases like that.
Yeah.
So you know that you can get rid of a lower...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna...
And that's why a lot of times when you go to places like... you know when you get like yellow tickets at Marks and Spencer's or supermarkets and things like that? That's usually their break-even point.
Yeah.
They go down to their break-even point so they cover their costs on it.
Yeah.
And also sales, when people put 50% off, that's because...
They just want to get rid of...
They want the room, but they don't want to make a loss on it.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
Okay. The next one I have is capital assets. An asset with a useful life of longer than a year that is not intended for sale, like your cars, your homes.
Your oven.
Your fridges.
Your mixer.
The table you work at.
Yep. they're all assets, and they've all got a monetary value.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go into depreciation and stuff here, but I'm not that boring. Because you know, like when you buy a car, you know it's not going to be worth as much in the first year and then the second year. And there's like, you can do sums around that. Accountants can do sums around that in that depreciation. But your assets are your things that if you suddenly stopped working, you could sell them.
Yeah.
And you could get money for them. That's right. That is an asset.
Your tools and equipment, you know, your flower cutters and that's covered under that as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically anything that's got a monetary value. Yeah.
Your printer.
That you could sell. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And then your capital, so that's an asset, and then your capital is money. Mm. So if you've got money in the bank, that's capital. Mm. It's cold, hard cash. Mm. That's your capital.
Yeah.
And another one that I actually found, I was looking up the other day, because again, I didn't realize, I don't think I realized, because like the same thing with turnover, I didn't realize the difference, what equity is. And equity is the amount that you own in your business. So I own 100% of my business because it's mine. Mm. And you know, when people go into Dragon's Den and we go, we'll let you have 20% yeah. equity for 150. So that's an equity share. Mm. So that's what equity is. It's the ownership of your business.
Yeah.
Oh. Right.
So this is the last one on my list.
Okay.
Okay. So I've got invoice and pro forma.
Yeah. So, because I don't think everyone knows what a pro forma is in comparison to a normal invoice.
I think I might have. So I've written a preliminary. I can't say this word. Preliminary bill or estimated invoice, which is used to request a payment. So that's an invoice, isn't it?
That's a pro forma, isn't it? A pro forma is what you send before. Yeah. So basically what we mainly do, actually, so we will send a pro forma invoice and want payment before we make a cake.
Yeah.
It can also be called an invoice, but the pro forma is when you definitely want money before you give the goods.
Yeah.
So a pro forma is like a prepayment. So pro forma, I mean, to be honest, when I send an invoice, I expect it to be paid before I make the cake anyway.
Yeah.
But if you've got corporate clients, if you want the corporate client to pay up before they get the cake,
you have to actually specify massively that is what
you would have to send. Yeah, you'd have to send a pro forma invoice, which actually specifically says you are not going to get your goods until you pay for this.
Yeah. And say things like, oh, I didn't realise it said that on the invoice. So you have to make sure you specify to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
But invoices. And then a receipt. Some people send an invoice as a receipt, but a receipt is the thing that you get after you've...
Yeah.
You know, so like when you go to a shop, you get a receipt.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you buy online, you get an invoice and it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Hey, Diary does that very well.
I also looked up VAT.
Oh yes.
So in the UK, VAT is value added tax. I know I think our VAT is 20%. Although on cakes, you don't pay VAT on cake. Mm-hmm. Because cake is seen as an essential.
It is.
And biscuits, you don't pay VAT on biscuits unless they're coated in chocolate, and then you do pay VAT on
that. That's interesting. It is 20%. I've just Googled it.
Yeah, 20%. So have you heard of the Jaffa cake debate? Is Jaffa cake a cake or a biscuit? Yeah. And it was all to do with VAT.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was all to do with VAT. So Jaffa cake, if anyone that doesn't know what Jaffa cake is, which rock have you been hiding under? Mm-hmm. But a Jaffa cake, so it's a bit of cake with a bit of jelly and a chocolate on the top, and they tried to charge VAT on it because they said it was a biscuit. Mm. Because it was a biscuit that had a chocolate coating. Yeah. And McVitie's went back and went, no, it's a cake.
Yeah.
So therefore we don't want to charge VAT on it.
Yes.
And so that's the difference. But if you have a business and you have a taxable turnover of $90,000 or more, you have to be registered for VAT.
Yeah.
Whether your goods are VATable or not makes absolutely no difference. So if you make over £90,000 turnover from your cakes per year, you have to be registered for VAT, and then you have to do VAT returns, I think every quarter. But what that does mean is that if you're buying equipment such as a new cooker, you can claim the VAT back.
Yeah.
I don't know how many cake makers will be making over £90,000 turnover a year, but just in case you are, please be aware you do have to be registered for VAT.
Yeah. Have you got any other ones?
I haven't. Oh, the other, so I had a couple of different bits. I had the difference between a sole trader and a limited company.
Oh, yeah.
Because I used to be a limited, a data kit company used to be a limited company. Yeah. And that means we had to, so if so right now I'm a sole trader, yeah. So I'm registered with HMRC, which is our, in the UK, our tax, Her Majesty's.
His Majesty's
Revenue and Customs.
Yeah.
So I'm registered as a sole trader, and that has certain implications of when you have to do your VAT returns, your tax returns. If you're a limited company, you have to do corporate tax returns, and they are different from the sole trader. I wouldn't recommend a limited company personally.
No.
Talk to an accountant if you think you want to be a limited company.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I've got.
Oh, I'm a lucky bunny.
Why?
I've got a coffee.
Someone bought you a cup.
Yeah.
Someone's come in with a cup. Oh, look at that. I finished my cup. That's why I was coughing earlier.
Thank you very much.
There was one other thing that I put on there was sunk costs. Oh, but yeah. I don't know. So sunk costs are money that you spent and you can't ever get back.
Oh, yeah.
So for example, we did my garage, and so the cake room that I'm sitting in is a sunk cost. I can't ever sell it because it's part of the house,
yeah.
But it's a sunk cost into my business that I can never get back.
Yeah.
And that's it. I think that is it now. Oh. I'm going to shut the book because okay. I don't want to look at it anymore.
I shut mine as well. but I am glad we have done this because I really felt that this is something that, especially in our schools, we're not taught these sort of things.
And no, we're
if
not.
You don't really
we're taught
know,
algebra, yeah. But we're not talk of anything about gross profit and net profit.
Which I think is quite important.
Yeah, so, I think it's very important.
I'm more knowledgeable now than I was yesterday. so, and I have listened to podcasts about this like over the last few weeks, and it's just like they go wow 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 wow. So but I'm
what
glad.
Was that you sounded like, was it Charlie Brown?
Yeah,
that
yeah, Peanuts.
Oh wow wow wow, 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 wow,
that's
wow,
the teacher wow. Isn't it, or the parents when they phone up. Anyway, we're gonna dive straight into product of the week, product of the week, product of the week.
Oh, this is more fun.
Yes. So it's actually your turn to go first.
Is it my turn? Yeah. Is it my turn? Right. I don't have a product to start. I have a person to follow on Instagram.
I'll get my phone out ready.
But she does have products, but unless you're in America, you ain't going to be able to buy them,
okay.
Which is really sad because I really want to buy them. So it's someone that I follow on Instagram that I have been very much inspired by, called The Pink Crumb, double B at the end.
I think I follow her already, The Pink.
She's called Tiffany and she has a cart. She has cake cart.
I do follow her. Yeah.
So she has this cake cart, which is kind of where I was inspired to do my cake shed. But she has a cake cart, and yeah, I just find what she says, like, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And it's all for small businesses, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she talks about, she talks about what happened when she got to the point that she literally couldn't bake anymore to make any more money.
Mm.
So what, you know, how could she increase her product? How could she increase her income?
Yeah.
And her revenue and her gross profit in it. Yeah. So, and then she said, well, then I had to start changing some of my products in my cart because I physically couldn't bake anymore. So I couldn't increase my hourly rate.
Yeah.
And yes, so she's very honest. She has got a little, she's got a membership called the Pink Program or something like that, which I think is $4.99 a month. But it is very American centric. So yeah. It's she talks about cottage laws, which we don't
know.
You know, it's like she talks about selling in America. But some of the things she says on there, you know, makes a lot of sense. And I say that's $4.99 a month. But yeah, I like Tiffany a lot.
Yes. I do follow her and I do watch her videos occasionally. Okay. So my product of the week, because I've been banging on about it all the time, is Bake Diary. I pay £6.06 a month. It comes out of my account.
That's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah. Considering on the previous accounting thing I was using, which I mentioned earlier, Cashflow, I was paying £22, £23
a month. Yeah, see, I think I paid with QuickBooks because I used to have there were like different levels on QuickBooks.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, like
bronze, and when I had the silver.
Yeah. So when I had the sold, because I had the, when we had the limited company and I had staff and I had to do payroll, yeah. I was on one level. And then I was, but the lowest level on QuickBooks was still something like 20 quid a month.
Yeah. So I love Bake Diary. It does your invoices for you. It does your, you can just enter your expenses, your mileage. Yeah. It works out the prices of cakes for you. It can have your recipes on it.
So you put all your ingredients on and your recipes and then it'll work out the cost.
Yeah. And then every now and then you just need to go in and update your prices. I know I don't use it to its full capacity.
But do you not find like all of these things, they've all got so much more than
you could use. But it's really simple. I do use the majority of them. I'm just going to open... I had it open so that I could click on it. I'm not going to now in case I fudge up what we're doing. But it's got, you can draw pictures on it as well. You can do templates of cakes. It's got flowers and things on there that you can put on. You can do the invoicing. You can do proformas. You can do quotations. I find it really simple. It has a customer base. You can pay your bank. I can't do it, but you can link your bank and Bake Diary. But I didn't want to pay the £5 charges on my business account,
right?
Because I'm making money, and you don't make money.
So, too many costs means your profit's going to go down.
That's right. So I highly rate it. I really do. And it does all your it does your net profit and your sales.
I didn't realise it was so cheap. Yeah. I didn't realise it was just £6 a month.
And then you can also do, it's got graphs on it so you can see how much money you've made. It's got,
How long did it take to you to set it up with all your recipes and things?
To start off with, I just did a little bit here and a little bit there. I started off with the invoices. It's got my logo on there. You could also add photos. If I don't like to, because I like the customer to see my image, but sometimes they send in a picture and you can add it to that. Your invoice that you're sending out. I did the invoices bit first, and that was all I used for a while. And then I added Christmas cakes, and then the recipes and prices. So I do a little bit here, there, and everywhere. So I didn't have it all set up immediately, but I'd say within the year.
Right. And I do just as and when you've needed it, you've added bits to it.
Yeah, and I do tend to go in, and it works out loads for you. It's really simple. It's really easy. And
it's designed for bakers.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah. And I know someone who was using it and they weren't a baker. Because they were just using like the invoicing and the expenses and stuff like that. Because
it was cheaper than a regular accounting package,
and it does everything you need, but really simply. And the fact that you can put your customers in it as well, and you can send out emails, I think, and stuff like that. But I don't do that.
Oh, very nice.
I have had it as product of the week before, but I felt because of what we were talking about,
it made sense.
Yeah. And I used it to write my notes as well. But I highly recommend it.
Excellent. Okay. Right. So we hope we have been of some help, except for the minute of confusion in the middle when we didn't know what the difference was between gross profit and net profit. But now we do.
We hope you do too.
We're bakers. We don't do this tut.
No. No. We covered it and hopefully we've helped. But
yeah, I mean, I actually have, and I know you have in your bank, you know, so I've got a bank account, which has got little different spaces and, you know, and I put
I've got
money
pots
here
of
for
mine.
Tax.
I think it's becoming
so I've got space,
more common
got pots.
Because I did have a conversation with my niece yesterday, and she's with GSB, and she said the same thing. She said, "Oh, I've got these little pots and things now." So
yeah.
And
so you put money aside. So, I mean, I personally, so as money comes in, I put 60% aside for my wages. I put 5% aside for my tax. I put 5% aside for my profit. I leave 30% in my main account for like all my expenses and my costs. And then every month I pay myself out of my wages pot.
Yeah.
So I don't spend the whole lot. I pay it like gradually. So it evens it out.
Yeah.
I know other people do it differently, you know, but it's,
I think it's what suits you, but as long as you're putting money away and you're not in the red, you're always in the black.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. As long as you're paying yourself and you've got money for a disaster.
Excuse me.
Do you know what? What with me coughing, you sneeze. Yeah. I think it's allergies. I think it's just allergies. Yeah,
it's allergies.
It's allergies. I think I've got over my actual cough, but this is just...
Yeah. Right.
Right.
I think I'm happy. I hope you all out
Are
there.
You?
Yes. Please make sure you like, subscribe, dance, add a review, because reviews are always helpful and will let other people know about us.
Message us, chat to us.
If you have any questions.
If you need...
I know... We've got some good guests come. I know two definitely have booked good guests. I'm just waiting for confirmation.
Love a good guest. And actually, while we were talking then, another one of the guests was buzzing on my phone. So fingers crossed.
So, yeah.
Fingers crossed.
All right.
And we will see.
Yeah.
Right.
Take care.
See you next time then, I guess.
Bye.